This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, in 1969, we heard those famous words, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. They touched down on the moon, one of the greatest human achievements of all time, right up there with the invention of sliced bread. Greg, it raises lots of theological questions, not sliced bread, but the moon landing, doesn't it?
Sliced bread and cricket. It does. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I was still in nappies at the time. I claim to remember watching it on TV, but my mother tells me that's impossible. But it was an incredible human achievement. I mean, to have been gutsy enough to try and do this in the first place just stuns me. I'm still amazed that we actually landed people on the moon. But there's this strange kind of story that goes around, at least in skeptical circles, that, you know, the further away you get from the kind of the intricacies of human life, the further back you step in the universe, the more likely you are to say God doesn't exist. You know, once you look back from a distance, you go, nah, there's no God. There's no
yeah, so it's there. Like the bigger the universe seems, the less plausible it is that there's a God.
You just seem insignificant, yeah. And you know, how could there be a God with this vast space out there? But we found out recently that actually if you ask the astronauts about their experience, this is not the case at all. In fact, it's the precise opposite. There's a little known story about Buzz Aldrin, you know, the second man on the moon, I think he was. It's a difficult title to live with, isn't it? But he was called Buzz, and that's a cool name. He apparently has a story about what he did around the moon landing that really isn't known very well. In fact, when he got up there and he looked down on the surface of the moon, he was driven to prayer, to the Bible, to celebrating the life and death of Jesus Christ. Mm. Here's how the story goes. This is his own account of it. And it includes some really interesting information about how NASA treats religion. He said, in the radio blackout of the time, I opened little plastic packages containing bread and wine. I poured the wine into a chalice that our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. Can you imagine that? Then I read the scripture, and this is from John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whosoever abides in me will bring forth much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing.
What a brilliant text to read. At the high point of human technological achievement, he says, actually, we can't do anything apart from Jesus.
Absolutely. A celebration of his dependence on God rather than a celebration of getting there under his own steam. Apparently, this was not broadcast or not made known because NASA was embroiled in a legal battle about a previous space crew who had read from the book of Genesis while they were orbiting the moon, and this was considered a terrible thing. So no one really knows about the Buzz story. It's not the only story about astronauts, too. In fact, when you look into it, most astronauts, according to the accounts we've read, were either already Christians or became Christians after their trips into space.
But that runs against what I've often heard, particularly from my skeptical friends, that when the Russians went there, their astronaut, their cosmonaut, said, no, been up in space, there's no God. And so the argument is, it just depends on your cultural heritage. Sure, the Yanks think there's a God, so of course they're going to talk about God on the moon. But the Russians, who are, you know, far cleverer, they're atheists, they don't see God when they go up there.
Well, Matt, it's another example of these stories that get around and really are almost the opposite of the truth. There is this story that I think his name was Yuri Gagarin, I'm not sure if my pronunciation's correct there, that when he was up there in space, he actually looked back and said, yeah, I've been up there and God's not there. But according to the accounts that I've read, he didn't say that at all. In fact, those words came out of the mouth of Khrushchev at the time in a Central Committee planning meeting when he was talking about how they could develop anti-religious propaganda. And apparently Khrushchev said, we need to tell people that Gagarin flew into space and saw no God there. But those around Gagarin, say that he himself was baptized into the Russian Orthodox Church and never moved away from the faith that he'd had from childhood.
Isn't it funny how a story like that can just enter into popular culture and become sort of a fixed parable, if you like, of unbelief?
And it shows how hard skeptics have to work to grind out of people the religious instinct. I think it's far more likely that if you and I went up into space and were amazed by what we saw, the wonder of the universe, that we would want to bow down in worship to its creator.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.